At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Tonight, illegal mining activities are wreaking havoc on Ghana's railway infrastructure, with about 3 kilometers of critical Nsuta Takoradiechie rail line destroyed, halting manganese haulage and other operations. The Ghana Railway Company estimates the damage to be around $18 million, a blow to the nation's economy. The destroyed stretch of the rail line hangs dangerously over pit dug by illegal miners, while others sections are buried under sand. Large portions of land along the rail line also are degraded.
Well, the acting chief executive officer of the Ghana Railway Development Authority, Dr. Frederick Apo, said the destruction of the rail line has collapsed manganese haulage operations, a significant contributor to the national economy. Well, he says repair cost has quadrupled, with maintenance as well as expenses further straining the Ghana Railway Company's finances, which are already struggling to pay workers' salaries. Well, speaking on the Pulse earlier, he says this is something concerning to this administration.
The railway infrastructure is a very expensive infrastructure. At the moment, we are looking about $5 million per kilometer. I mean, that's a consecutive amount. And some amounts go as far as $9.2 million per kilometer. So allowing this infrastructure to go away, okay, or to be destroyed by illegal mining, it's a terrible thing. The railway that you saw last time, or which is currently in circulation, some of the construction go as far back as 1893. So if you have that infrastructure in terms of that length, and it is now being, you know, destroyed in this nature, and for what? So we need to ask ourselves as a nation, all right, how we are going to deal with this issue. It is not just the railway sector problem. The problem is that, what is the impact? The impact is that in the near future, you are not going to construct, we are not going to construct for $5 million per kilometer any longer. We have to construct for $10 million per kilometer.
Well, he says a sustained routine monitoring of the railway line will be the most effective way of protecting the nation's railway infrastructure.
We need to do land reclamation before we start construction. And we need to also put up what I call a sustainable or augmented with a security force, which must be routine, not a one-spot check, to be able to maintain this infrastructure in the future. And this corridor connects our three main mines. It connects Nsuta mines, it connects Awaso, and it connects Inenyini. Total volumes that we are looking at is 25 million metric tons. So consecutive amounts, if we are doing the haulage alone, is about $186 million in terms of revenue. And this will create jobs. So it is in our collective interest as a country, and of course as citizens, to be able to work together with the law enforcement. Law enforcement will do their job, but the way they are operating is that they know, they try to study the pattern.
How about deploying the police or military permanently to this stretch? Have you considered that option?
Yes, that is much more of the, what I call the routine deployment I'm talking about. But having the police doing a spot check inspection one afternoon, one in the morning, is not going to help. You need what I call a sustainable force, routine, deployed, whereby they are on the line 24/7. And as well as we have to also use surveillance or drones to be able to monitor that from what I call tactical point of view.
Meanwhile, the Environmental Protection Authority, EPA, is stirring up controversy with its bold plan to restore the country's polluted rivers using a copper-based nano-liquid technology. The proposal being championed by the EPA's chief executive officer, Professor Nanama Brown-Cloutier, claims to effectively dechemicalize and restore heavily contaminated water bodies. The EPA board says laboratory tests have shown promising results in removing toxic contaminants from water. There's more in the following report.
The country's water bodies are facing severe chemical contamination, primarily due to illegal mining activities. Rivers such as the Ankobra, Jimmy, Ofin have been polluted with toxic substances including mercury, arsenic, cyanide, lead, cadmium, iron, and zinc. As part of efforts to restore their quality, EPA boss Professor Nanama Brown-Kluche has proposed copper-based nanoliquid technology to dechemicalize the water bodies.
But then with this, we know that the technology is available. It's proven. Particular application of this technology is also proven. We have seen examples in Greece. You have seen some in the US, in Israel, in Turkey, wherever. But this has been tested in Greece, I have seen for myself. We have done the test in the lab. So the EPA advised the government that this, we have tested, it works, and it's doable.
Well, but not everyone is convinced. Some scientists are raising red flags. A lecturer at the University of Education, Winneba, Dr. Enyuma Aka, questions the concept of dechemicalization and its feasibility in real-world condition.
What is wrong with it is that when you say you want to dechemicalize, at the end of the day, you want to see that in the context in which you want to dechemicalize, there's no chemical there. So if there's a chemical there, it means you have not succeeded in dechemicalizing.
Mm.
Do you see that? The water itself that you want to dechemicalize is itself what? Chemical.
Associate Professor of Mining Engineering, Professor Emmanuel Danuba Sunkari, defended the method, affirming that dechemicalization is scientifically valid and the nanoliquid approach is proven in laboratory settings.
You can dechemicalize, and it is just semantics. It depends on how you use it. Decontaminate, detoxify, dechemicalize, and if your target is about chemical substances, then it is better to use dechemicalize. Maybe you are targeting potentially toxic elements like the arsenic, the cadmium, the mercury that are carcinogenic in nature. Then it is appropriate or very appropriate to use dechemicalize.
Adding to the debate, Professor Bright Kwachi Ewua of the Department of Physics at KNUST assured that Ghana possesses the expertise and skilled personnel to undertake the dechemicalization process at a competitive cost.
The technological know-how is right here in Ghana. The products that are used to treat the water, any of this contaminated water, we have the capability or the technological know-how to do that. And not only to do that, but to do that at competitive cost compared to what you did research, the cost that you put out there from the various countries, including the USA.
According to the EPA, the dechemicalization method it plans to introduce will cost about $200,000 during the piloting phase.
Ilong Galam say the minority caucus in parliament has criticized President John Dramani Mahama's recent meeting with civil society organizations on illegal mining, accusing him of attempting to cover up his government's failure in tackling the Galam say menace. The caucus claims that the meeting was a mere publicity stunt, and that statement released by the caucus is coming up on your screens right now. Just look at some of the key concerns they are raising. It says that the minority caucus in parliament has keenly followed recent developments relating to illegal mining and its impact on our water bodies, forests, and the health and livelihoods of our people. They go on to state that the caucus has also monitored the president's encounter with selected civil society organizations on the illegal mining menace and the government's responses at that encounter, which seeks to downplay the urgency to deal with this looming national disaster. It is clear that the encounter with the CSOs was a publicity stunt calculated to cover up the government's failed attempts to deal with illegal mining. Instead of dealing decisively with this looming crisis as promised when in opposition, the government has resorted to publicity gimmicks to sway the minds of unsuspecting Ghanaians from its failures. Without a doubt, this government lacks the political will to fight Galamsey and has merely resorted to the renaming of policies and programs introduced by the Akufo-Addo government. Well, in that statement, they go on to state all the different interventions by the previous administration, which they feel that this administration is replicating. Let me bring in a member of the Lands Committee in Parliament. He's also Member of Parliament for Mention North, Kwesi Konedu. We appreciate your time here on Joy News Prime. We've just been going through your statement, really, raising concerns about this administration's handling of the illegal mining crisis. They assumed office in just 9 months. You had 8 years to deal with it. Is your criticism legitimate, really?
Let me first say a very good evening to you, and thank you very much for having me. I sincerely believe when we start the debate or the discussion on some of these tangents, I therefore ask myself, why then do you even have to complain about the activities of illegal mining in this country? You are talking about you having 8 years and you cannot do anything, and therefore you should sit, fold our arms, and not talk about it because somebody has 9 months. My sister, illegal small-scale mining activities did not start with the NPP in just about 8 years ago. It started from somewhere, we met it, we tried doing our best, and they told us our best was not enough. They gave alternatives, the NDC gave alternatives and solutions that they professed to us that they were going to use in solving the illegal mining activities. When we still insisted that there are things that we are doing, and these things, when given time, would yield the positive results, they told us they are not enough and they cannot be the things that would help us fight illegal mining activities, and therefore, we should declare a state of emergency. We told them we've had the interministerial committee, we have Operation Halt 1 and 2, we have Operation Vanguard, we had all of these things. We passed the LI 2404, said that we can have the ability to be tracking all of these things. They told us they were not enough. Fast forward, they are now in government. What are they doing currently so as to be able to halt the operations of illegal mining activities in this country? It is a matter of renaming the activities that we were doing that they told us were not enough, and that they kept insisting that we should declare a state of emergency. When civil society is therefore calling on them that the things that you said in opposition are not in government, do those things for us so that we can free our forest reserves and also clean our water bodies so that we can have a perfect environment. If they are now telling us that they are having an engagement with CSOs so that some individuals will come there to come and tell us, change the narrative, sway our minds and our demands off the things that they told us so that they will tell us, oh, we are not there yet to declare a state of emergency and therefore we should give them time, and that if they are only 9 months in office and that they are waiting for national security briefings before they declare a state of emergency.
Mr. Konedu, if you allow me at this point in time,
yes,
civil society have been pushing for a declaration of a state of emergency for a while now. Now that you're in opposition, you agree that it's necessary to declare a state of emergency? Is that the case?
Let me then retort back to you. When they were pushing for a state of emergency in opposition, when civil society was telling us to declare a state of emergency and we told them we have the emergency, what did the NDC in opposition tell us and tell Ghanaians? They said they were going to do that and declare a state of emergency. My dear sister, you see, when we were taught back, so ask them, when they were in opposition and they told Ghanaians that they could even stop illegal small-scale mining activities in 1 weekend, we have 9 months, and you are telling me now that 9 months is not enough. Let me ask a very simple question. How many months and years do they need? They should tell us so that we then can mark them by that. If civil society told us, and assuming we did not do it, because I do not know on what basis that the NDC is now telling us in government that they are waiting for the briefing of the national security. So on what basis were they also agreeing over a year ago that there was the need for us to declare statement? Did they have the national security briefing? Look, my dear sister,
okay,
when they came into government, they told us they proclaimed 9 forest reserves. Assuming that was even true and they were held, they said they proclaimed that. Now we are being told by the government spokesperson, by the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, that there are 44 new forest reserves that they need the military presence permanent in them, and that they are going to declare our water bodies and our forest reserves as security zones.
Okay.
It tells you that the threat of Galamsey is so high, and therefore they're going to. So what is stopping them?
Thank you so much.
What is decapitalization now?
Thank you so much.
If you are in the midst of all of these problems, are you sure that you'll be able to do the things that you are telling me?
Thank you so much. Away from that.
Well, away from Galamsey, after months of investigations and claims of missing docket, it's official. The MPP's Ashanti regional chairman, Bernard Mpiboisiako, popularly known as Chairman Wontumi, is set to face three charges related to illegal mining offences tomorrow at the High Court. Chairman Wontumi was earlier this year detained for a week by IOCO after previous similar investigations by the police CID. Also at the CID headquarters, former Attorney General and Minister for Justice, Godfred Yebuadame, was interrogated by CID officers following a petition by Richard Jakpa, which called for an investigation into allegations that Godfred Dami fabricated evidence during his tenure as Attorney General in a high-profile ambulance procurement case, which involved Dr. Kasiel Atuforsen, now the Minister for Finance. Kwaku Asante has the rest of the story.
Stalwarts of the opposition New Patriotic Party have had their day before the Criminal Investigations Department of the Ghana Police Service. First, Chairman Wontumi, Bernard Mpiboisiako, the chairman of the NPP in the Ashanti region, facing accusations of engaging in illegal mining through his company, Akonta Mining. This morning, he arrived at the CID headquarters in the company of his lawyers to face CID interrogators after the AG had issued an ultimatum to him to appear today or face arrest. His lawyers say they are ready and willing to cooperate.
In all cases where Dr. Chairman Wontumi has been invited, we have always shown presence. We have always cooperated with the investigators. We have always provided whatever information we have. We have always provided documents that we also have to rely on. Except that on one or two occasions, when the invitation came quite late, and it was impossible for Chairman Wontumi to be present in Accra, we had negotiated for the next day, and we have shown presence the next day as our request had been granted.
Then I went into a meeting that lasted more than 3 hours, with the bill conditions now revised, 1 million cedis and 2 sureties. Chairman Wontumi has met all that and has worked out a free man. But tomorrow, Tuesday, the expectation is that the state will now formally prefer 3 charges related to illegal mining against him. His lawyer, Andy Apiakubi, again, has been speaking after the interrogation.
And Chairman has been, as you have seen, being very composed and expecting that we'll go to court and all of us will help the court in taking a decision that is judicious.
Chairman, I imagine you are maintaining your innocence.
We are not supposed to prove innocence. Our job is to allow prosecution to finish, and then we will come and meet with our response.
Then Godfred Yebuadame, the former Attorney General and Minister for Justice, who served under President Akufo-Addo, you will recall that during the trial of Dr. Kasiel Atuforsen, then Minority Leader and now Finance Minister, a tape surfaced that allegedly had the Attorney General then on coaching Richard Jakpa, the then a co-accused person, who now work within the national security architecture, to allegedly say things that will incriminate Dr. Kasiel Atuforsen. But now, Richard Jakpa filed a petition at the CID demanding an investigation for what he called witness tampering. Godfred Dami today faced interrogators. And before that, his deputy, Alfred Tuaeboa, when he served in office, said this was all a political witch hunt.
All these charges against Trump at once. I mean, the former AG in his office as the AG started duties with all diligence. I was his deputy, and I can state without any equivocation that he has done nothing untoward to merit this kind of charge that has been brought against him. But at the end of the day, truth will stand. Truth will stand. Godfred will be vindicated.
We were assisting the police with their investigation, so to speak. It is early days yet, so I don't want to preempt anything about charges. We just came here to honor their invitation, and we are looking forward for what they will have to say subsequently. At least we have also told them what we know about the complaint, so we'll be waiting for them in due course.
So Chairman Wontumi on Tuesday will have charges preferred against him for illegal mining. And Godfred Yebo Adame will have to wait a little longer as the police continue to investigate the claims that have been made against him by Richard Japa. He has been interrogated today. The police, we know, in the coming days will continue to investigate. And if they find that any law has been breached that is within their remit, they will perhaps file charges. But as some supporters already come in here to express solidarity with Godfred Dami say, this is all witch hunt. Reporting for Joy News, Kweku Asante, CID headquarters, Accra.
Now to Kumasi, where the mayor of Kumasi, Richard Ofori-Ajimene, has told Parliament's local government committee that the fight against filth in the city is yielding results, but more work remains to be done. Mr. Ofori-Ajimene, who was among several MMDCs from the Ashanti region that appeared before Parliament's local government committee today, added he has backed away from his earlier threat to use force against traders who flout city bylaws due to high level of compliance. The following report has more.
Just as the Public Accounts Committee suspended their sitting, the local government committee have begun theirs, and it is their responsibility to ensure that the various heads who have been put in charge of the metropolitan, district and municipal assemblies across the country are doing their jobs well. Today, MMDCs from mainly the Ashanti region have had their turns. The mayor of Kumasi told the committee that he needs more internally generated funds to ensure, most especially, that the city is kept clean and running.
I've all come to accept that wherever there's asphalt, we'll not do any trading activity there. And we have not had any difficulty. They are complying, they are supporting us. So for now, we are trying to accommodate them on the pavement, but where there are streets, they are not selling there. Yes.
Okay, have you preached them? Have you advised them? Like how? How are they not in the street? It cannot be. There should be a measure of measures.
There's a monitoring team from KMA. There's a monitoring team for KMA. And they do constant patrol of the central business district till 6 p.m.
Okay, so what did they do? Did they just push them or sprinkle of water?
No, once we see that somebody is strayed onto the street, we will take your wear, bring it to KMA, we impose a fine on you, and then you are advised to go to where you can conveniently do your trading activity without giving us any headache.
So it means that no source of pity.
We have been beating anybody as at
any
now.
Any sort of intimidation?
We have not done that as at now.
Thank you.
So you see, rivalry and the fact that they are not in very good terms will hinder the approval of the District Assembly Common Fund that is meant for the MPs. And they want to use that as a score to settle in some of the cases. And again, in some of the districts too, because they don't understand each other, they either decide or pretend that they are not aware of whichever initiatives that are coming on board from the Assembly, among others. It's not helpful. For local governance to work, we need to carry along all the stakeholders. We need to be able to move the MPs, the DCs, the chiefs, the assembly members, and almost everyone, so that we would be able to develop our towns and our communities.
From the committee room in Parliament, Kenneth Jesse for Joy News.
Well, you're still watching Joy News Prime. We'll take a short breather. When we return, we'll tell you more. Please stay. Well, welcome back, and thank you so much for staying with us. Let's go on with some other stories. Ghana's business community is up in arms against the Electricity Company of Ghana and Ghana Water Limited, with three major associations, the Food and Beverages Association of Ghana, Ghana Union of Traders Association, and Ghana Plastic Manufacturers Association, calling for sweeping reforms. The associations have slammed the utility companies as quote and unquote leaking baskets due to alleged waste and inefficiency, and are demanding immediate action to address these issues. Fatou Bayaga has more in the following report.
The three associations are calling on President John Dramani Mahama and the NDC administration to immediately begin a reset agenda for the Electricity Company of Ghana and Ghana Water Limited. John Awini, chairman of the Food and Beverages Association of Ghana, warned that approving new utility tariffs for these companies without deep reforms would be an injustice to businesses.
We are here by warning that approving new tariffs hikes for utilities, especially the ECG and the Ghana Water Company, without deep reforms would be a profound injustice to the businesses and households. The Auditor General's report year after year and data from the Energy Commission of Ghana reveal that ECG in particular is bleeding money through inefficiency, corruption, and waste. How on earth can a company like that ever make profit? How can tariff ever solve their problems? Every increase in tariff is like pouring water into a basket.
Awini said the group plans to petition the president to establish an executive reform agenda committee within 30 days to oversee the reset of the two companies.
We are hereby, ladies and gentlemen of the press, calling on His Excellency the President, for that matter, petitioning him to launch an executive reform agenda anchored in measurable key performance indicators and enforced by a presidential task force.
Joseph Obin, president of GUTA, noted that Ghanaian traders struggle to export goods because of the country's high utility rates and warned that the government's 24-hour economy initiative could fail if the utility situation is not addressed.
Does not make us competitive at all. We all realize that we are doing the African Continental Free Trade Area, and Ghana is lagging behind. We are not competitive. Our goods cannot even be sold at Togo. It doesn't go beyond the other member states. And we should know, the earlier we know that set these issues and put it in proper context, we are not going to industrialize or the 24-hour economy that we want to propagate. We'll just be in a mess.
President of the Ghana Plastic Manufacturers Association, Ebo Bochi, says members may soon relocate to neighboring countries to recycle if the government does not resolve the situation.
So if government is talking about come next year, it's going to escalate the utilities to hundreds, then definitely we'll have to probably relocate to Burkina or Togo or Cote d'Ivoire, produce and then ship to Ghana.
For Joy News, Fatou Bayaga, Accra.
Let's shift our attention now to the educational sector. Long queues have formed at the Ghana Education Service School Placement Resolution Center as hundreds of anxious parents and students demand answers over what they describe as inconsistencies in the school placement process. My colleague Stephen Mensah was at the Resolution Center and filed this report.
Under the scorching Accra sun, hundreds of parents line up at the GES School Placement Resolution Center. Some have been here since dawn, tired, restless, and desperate for answers.
I'm here to change the school, but last 2 weeks I came here. They said I should wait for next week, the school can. So I waited, the school did not come. So I came back to come and check why the school did not come. I wanted Ganata and St. John's Grammar, and what's the name? Homali. I had 15 first time. When I went to check, they changed it to 27. They said I should write 3-6 schools.
For many, this wait is not just about a file or a form. It's about a child's future that now feels uncertain.
I came here last week and they told me I'll be getting my message on Wednesday, Friday or Saturday, so that today we'll go and check it. But today we check again and the same thing. And I came in and they are telling me that I should wait this week too. When? The schools that we choose, it's not the same school that they give you. I selected 7 schools, you see, and they didn't give him any.
What schools did you choose?
Ask him and he will tell you. You see, the schools we choose, Aquinas, St. Mary, Kaneshi. Even they give me Kaneshi, I like it. But none. And they gave me another school that is private school. I can't afford it.
According to the Ministry of Education, 603,328 candidates sat for this year's Basic Education Certificate examination. Out of that, 590,309 qualified for placement, but officials say just about 483,800 candidates have been successfully placed, leaving thousands still unassigned. With less than 10 days to the reopening of senior high schools, tensions are rising. Parents say the system has been slow, confusing, and at times unfair.
We are here since Monday. I go here before 6, thinking that, oh, maybe by 9 o'clock I'll be done so that I'll go out and do whatever I want to do. But it's like everything is manya.
For now, the Ministry of Education warns against paying money to any third party who promises to secure placement, reiterating that the placement process remains free. Reporting from the Ghana Education Placement Resolution Center here in Accra, I am Stephen Menta, reporting for Joy News.
Still on education, the Minister of Education, Haruna Idrisu, has directed the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to immediately assess and address the salary disparities between medical doctors in academia and those serving under the Ghana Health Service. Describing the situation as an unfair labor practice, he acknowledged the urgent need of correction to ensure equity and fairness in the remuneration structure for public service providers. Here's a report by Clinton Iwa.
Dean of Students of Medical Sciences, Professor Akwesi Enchikusi, reveals that the disparity has made it increasingly difficult to attract young doctors to join academia as lecturers and researchers.
Part of the unattractiveness to join faculty is because of the disparity in salary between doctors in the Ministry of Health and doctors in academia. So if you are in the Ministry of Health, your salary is up there. If you are in the Ministry of Education, it's down there. As the saying goes, for teachers, Aketuano, Ewosro. Because of this, our young doctors don't want to join the medical school as lecturers. I call on the CEO of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to help bridge this gap.
The Minister of Education, Haruna Idrisu, in response, has assured that a review from the Fair Wages and Salary Commission will address the disparities. He was speaking at the 50th anniversary Gandeba of the KNUSC School of Medical Sciences.
To the Dean of Medical Sciences, he made me appreciate the disparity and salary gaps or conditions of service between doctors in the Ghana Health Service and doctors at the Ministry of Education. So Nana reported me right. I hurriedly and quickly called the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and I've asked them to evaluate and close the gap and the difference in a manner that is fair. That will count as an unfair labor practice. I came to play with Dr. Sribua and his other friend, but thanks to him and others, we worked and gave Ghana qualified conditions of service for all medical practitioners. Thanks to him.
For Joy News, my name is Clinton Yeboah.
From education, the Chief Executive Officer of the Environmental Protection Authority, Professor Nanama Brown Kluche, is urging Ghana to take space science seriously to address emerging challenges in the agriculture and mining sectors. Speaking at the Made in Ghana Space Conference at the University of Ghana, Professor Kluche emphasized the need for the country to invest in the production of space technologies, noting that the global space economy, currently valued at $600 billion, is projected to exceed $1.3 trillion within the next decade.
I want to say that Ghana is already using space, or many institutions in Ghana are applying space science. If you have used Uber, Yango, or any of those, or finding location or sending location to somebody, you are already using space technology. For us, as I said, we use space to monitor the air quality, forest, land, water, and all of that. We're already using the technology. What we are advocating to use or to do is be not just the users, but also be producing the space technologies. That gives us more economic power than the usage of it, which means we only go to the market to buy to use. But we want to be producers of the technology as well. So the space policy that is passed by Parliament will position us to be able to be the producers of the technology. One will ask, why do we want to spend money? Because, well, space is expensive. We can use space technology for precision mining, which means that prospecting to degrade the environment in many ways, we can reduce that because...
For the director of Ghana Space Science and Technology Institute, Dr. Joseph Bremantando, said Ghana can only benefit from the booming global and African space economies if this administration invests enough money into it.
Global space economy is worth $600 billion and is projected to hit $1.3 trillion in the next decade. In the African context, the space economy is worth $22 billion and is also projected to hit in hundreds of millions, that is in the next 10 years. As a country, what role are we playing? You can only be part of this economy if you are producing real tools, because all the specific tools that we are talking about are being produced by the West, and these tools are being dumped on us. Every satellite image that we purchase, it creates employment for somebody outside, whilst it can be us. Every tool that we develop, let's say if we develop a tool to monitor our forest, we should be the ones developing the tools. Why do we need to pay another country to observe our own farmlands and tell us what is on our farmlands?
Attention to health because Setra East District in the Ashanti region has launched a vaccination campaign to protect over 6,000 girls aged 9 to 14 against the human papillomavirus, HPV, the main cause of cervical cancer. Health officials say the single-dose exercise part of a nationwide program is vital for a district where access to cancer treatment is limited and where prevention could save lives.
At a campaign meeting, the Setra East District Health Officers outlined their plan to protect the next generation. District Health Director Dr. Justice Ofori Amua says the area is targeting over 6,000 girls between the ages of 9 and 14.
We'll be picking our vaccines from the Regional Health Directorate tomorrow. Our target is around 6,000 plus. We speak to the general public, parents, caretakers, teachers, to encourage their children to come for these vaccines because it is safe and effective against the fight of cervical cancer.
The district will be working with schools, local leaders, and health facilities to ensure no girl is left behind. District Disease Control Officer Gideon Asari emphasizes on using a single-dose approach, which has been proven effective in preventing human papilloma virus, HPV, a common virus that can cause serious health problems, including cervical cancer.
Our emphasis is going to be on our teachers who work directly with the students. We hope that the teachers are going to support us like they have always done. We are targeting female children from 9 to 14 years of age, and it's going to be a single-dose vaccine.
Since August 2024, 126 people have been screened for cervical cancer. In Setra East, only one person tested positive. Health officials say this shows the urgent need for prevention through vaccination. Nancy Osei Owusu is the public health nurse.
We've screened 126 women. So we have only one person, as at now, who was tested positive for the cervical cancer, and she was referred to the gynae at the Fijiase Government Hospital.
Pain during sex, unusual vaginal bleeding, unusual vaginal bleeding even outside normal menstruation period. So this should be looked at for. If you see any of these signs, please visit the nearest health facility.
For Setra East, where access to cancer treatment is limited, prevention is the best protection. Health officials say by vaccinating thousands of girls today, the district hopes to prevent countless deaths tomorrow. A report by Mohamed Nuruddin.